Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there, and my blog, which you can subscribe to. We'll send it to you 5 days a week. The newsletter comes on Sunday once a week, and we give you Saturday off. Aren't we nice? All the other things you can do there, don't forget that, including going back and listening to the body of work that Rick Maurer has deposited with us over the years. Rick is an organizational change consultant. He's one of the world's experts on managing and dealing with and leading with and growing with change. He's the author of Beyond the Wall of Resistance and one of my favorite books, Why Don't You Want What I Want? I ask that question all the time, and they look at me weird, and I still keep asking that question. Rick, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. It's good to be back, Jim.
I keep saying, why don't you want what I want? And they say, because, just because.
That's right.
And by the way, Rick, you didn't tell me I could say this, but I think congratulations are in order. Would you like to tell the audience, are you ready to talk about this?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Rick, folks, you've heard me talk about what a Renaissance guy he is. He's an outstanding musician. He's a really great trombonist. I've known this for a long time, but I didn't know how well regarded he really was until recently. Rick, tell us what happened to you.
Well, I've always been a fan of the Glenn Miller Orchestra.
Yeah.
And
remind the audience what some of the great songs.
God, In the Mood, String of Pearls, Pennsylvania 65,000, Little Brown Jug, things like that. I mean, they were huge. I mean, they were
way back in the 30s and 40s.
Yeah.
Originally.
And the amazing thing is, even after Glenn Miller himself died in World War II,
right,
the band has continued and still travels 50 weeks a year. And I've met with them over the past year and a half and said, look, I'm not interested in giving up my career or my marriage, you know, but I would like to be, you know, a sub with your band, a substitute when, you know, and they said, yeah, you know, send us something. So I put together a demo CD and sent it to them, and right before the first of the year, I got notified. They said, yeah, we like your playing. You know, we don't use subs very often, but we certainly, you know, we'd love to have you join us.
Congratulations. That's a real honor for you, Rick.
And I am thrilled.
I bet you are. You ought to be, and I'm impressed. Now, tell us what you learned from that experience that ties in. See, they don't call me the king of Segway for nothing, Rick. tell us what you learned in that experience in the way of getting and giving feedback.
Wow! What a great segue. Folks, this is not prepared. I'll tell you what happened. Is I have a teacher, a trombonist, who's really good, but he's also very affirming, and he gives me a lot of encouragement. Like he said, "Yeah, go for it." And when I was starting to put together tracks, various songs for the demo CD, I didn't want him to come in and say, God, that's great, Rick. And so I brought him over and I said, look, I just want you to listen to this. And I want you to imagine, because he's in a really, really good jazz group. And I said, I want you to imagine that I'm auditioning for this group. What would you be thinking? And he started giving me really great pinpoint feedback.
But you put yourself out there. I mean, you put yourself out on the shelf there. I mean, you could have been served up, filleted and served up there, couldn't you?
I could have. Yeah.
It took some courage to do that.
Yeah, it did. But the big thing that made it work is, one, I really wanted to send something to the Glenn Miller Orchestra that they would go, wow, this is good.
Yeah. But you wanted to get better. That was fundamentally what you wanted, wasn't it?
Yeah. And another big thing that made it relatively easy for me to call Bill over and say, hey, I really want a sharp critique, which, by the way, we did over the course of probably 2 months, where he'd come over and he'd listen to stuff and go, nope, you're breathing in the wrong place there. Listen to this. The thing about it, I trust him. He's a great guy. He's a great musician, and so he had the street cred, will, that I would buy what he was saying. If somebody come up, I was playing in a festival a couple weeks ago, and I play a valve trum, not a slide trum.
Oh, okay.
Out of the blue, somebody in the audience, it was a workshop, and I was doing this. She said, "Well, I like your playing it, but it'd be better if you played it on a slide." I mean, I don't know who this person was.
Right. Her idea of a trombone has to have a slide.
Right.
She may never have seen that before. It may not have had anything to do with your playing.
Exactly. But the thing is, out of the blue, this comes.
Right.
That kind of feedback I don't take.
We're going to continue to talk about feedback and what, as Rick said, some of it's good, some of it's not good, some of it's requested, and some of it's unsolicited. Which of those should we pay attention to? 20 till. We'll be right back with Rick Maurer on Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Rick Maurer. Let me spell his last name for you, folks. M-A-U-R-E-R. If you're looking for him on our site or on Google, or you're looking for his books, Beyond the Wall of Resistance and Why Don't You Want What I Want, then you can find him there, Rick Maurer. And we're talking about, right now, and by the way, the newest member of the supporting cast, a stand-in musician for the Glenn Miller band, folks, and the newest member there, which we're really proud of Rick for that. Rick, we're talking about feedback, and you were giving us a little tour of different kinds of feedback. You know, the solicited kind, the unsolicited kind, the kind from the folks that you admire, but sometimes you have to be careful, Rick. I'll tell you why. When you discount feedback. And I'm not sure this is feedback if you don't ask for it, but Rick, how many times have you had someone say something to you and you just rejected it out of hand? The person had no standing in your mind, et cetera, et cetera. And then a few months later, a few weeks later, or whatever, you thought back and you realized that out of the mouths of babes, they didn't have any baggage. They were just looking at what was happening, and they made an observation, and it turns out they were right.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right about that, and it's a dilemma. It's tough because if you open yourself up to just feedback from all kinds of people, you'll get a lot of pretty wackadoodle stuff.
Right.
That's a technical term.
Right. It is important to ask somebody who will be honest, but also who has a little bit of background in what the topic is, right?
Yeah. I remember an old friend of mine, a guy named Henry Altus, once said, look, if somebody calls you a horse's behind, you can blow it off. Second person calls you a horse's behind, it might get your attention. Third person that calls you a horse's behind, you better buy yourself a saddle.
Right.
I really like what he had to say. I mean, if you start hearing something, you go, I've heard that before. Maybe it's worth paying attention to.
But it hurts the feedback, doesn't it, sometimes?
It really can. Yeah, and that's why if I'm going to ask for it, I really want to ask somebody who I trust.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I have to be ready for it. So in this audition process, I knew I was ready for it. And as you said, my goal was what I was shooting for. And without the feedback, I wouldn't, I'd have a hard time meeting the goal.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's a forging process, isn't it? And many times there's forging, there's fire and pressure.
Huh.
Right?
I like that, yeah. That's a wonderful image. Yeah.
Well, it is. It's a forging process, and what you're trying to do is create something that's purer and harder and more resilient, more enduring than what you had before. And in order to do that, you got to add fire and pressure.
Yeah.
And there's a little pain. It can be a little pain in that. Another member of our brain trust, Noah St. John, calls the people you were just talking about, Rick, he calls those loving mirrors. Isn't that a great term?
It is a very good term.
Because what you're asking them to do is to put a mirror in front of you and show you, you know, the imperfections.
Yeah.
But to do it in a way that can be constructive. It doesn't have to be, you know, apologetic or, you know, whatever. It needs to be firm, but still in a way that isn't destructive.
Right. You know, and I think about, you know, a lot of your listeners being small business owners. It's very difficult for those people to get good feedback. I mean, they may hear stuff from customers, but what they're likely to hear is, that was late. I didn't like that. I mean, they really won't hear, you know, but if you lose a customer, you know, you're left scratching your head. And I think it's a gutsy thing to do is to go to those customers and say, hey, I'm not here to try to get your business back as much as I would love it. Mm-hmm. I really want to know, how did we lose your business? And then prime the pump. I mean, because they're not the people. It's amazing how people really want to help you save face, and so they'll really, you know, and they really will make it. They'll soft pedal.
They'll make it softer than it really should be.
Yes. And so what you need to do is to say, well, you know, could it be? You know, I know we had that problem with, you know, the billing stuff. Could it be? So you're priming the pump for them. You know, and you're doing stuff that can help them go, well, yeah, you know, that really was a big deal. And they say, what else? Well, you know, another thing. But it's sometimes you're the one who has to help get the ball rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know, another thing, Rick, that I talked about this in the very first segment that I do by myself. I'm doing a little small business minute at the beginning there. And today, in this hour, I talked about the importance of being part of peer groups. I think peer groups are a great place to get and give feedback. What do you think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In fact, I just joined a new one last week, and we're going to have we had an organizing meeting, and we'll have our first meeting over the phone tomorrow. You know, and by the way, the nice thing about it is these people are from all over the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to spend an hour a week critiquing each other, basically critiquing each other's marketing. But it could have any kind of focus. And the nice thing is, I don't have to drive anywhere. I don't have to block out a half day. From 8 to 9 tomorrow morning, I'm expecting to be in some really pretty rich conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I'm a big fan of that.
Go ahead.
Well, and I was also going to say, and I think especially for, you know, for the people listening today, that if you're a business owner or you're in some sort of management position, you got to find people at your level who you can be candid with.
And maybe even a little bit ahead of you, so that you can maybe be, they can not only offer you feedback, but maybe even mentor you a little
bit. That's wonderful, yeah.
Quick break, right back when we come back. Have you ever given any feedback? That takes a little practice, too. We're going to get Rick to help us with that right after these messages. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend Rick Maurer, the author of Beyond the Wall of Resistance, Unconventional Strategies That Build Support for Change, and Why Don't You Want What I Want? How to Win Support for Your Ideas Without Hard Sell, Manipulation, or Power Plays. And Rick, tell us where your books are available, please.
Sure thing. All of my books are available on my website, which is beyondresistance.com, and they're also available on Amazon.
All right, so check that out, and maybe even some of the bookstores. I know they've been out a while, but folks, they're still very, very valid and up-to-date books. I encourage you to check them out, and also check out Rick's website. He's got some good stuff on that site as well. Rick, you know, feedback goes both ways. We give it and we get it, right?
Yeah.
And we've been talking about getting feedback and the fact that you got to have courage, you got to have a little pain before you ask for feedback, because it's going to be painful to get feedback. But is that what the deal is? There needs to be more pain in not having the feedback than there is in what it might be when you get the feedback.
You know, I'm not sure that it has to be that dramatic. I mean, I'm I've really, for as long as I can remember, as adult at any rate, been really, I've wanted feedback. I've thrived on it. And it's one of the reasons that I study. I continue studying in my profession, and I continue studying music. But I don't generally hear these big, dramatic things like, you ought to get out of the business, or you're no good kind of
right.
thing. But I'm hearing these fine-tuning things that are actually very, because the relationship is built, it's very easy for me to take, and I actually get excited about it.
But you got to find people who are capable of those nuances.
You do, or...
Otherwise, you're going to get ham-fisted responses.
Yeah, and in those cases, either you've got to say, man, it's so valuable, I'm willing to put up with that, or I need to look elsewhere.
Right. What about giving feedback? What do we need to think about whenever someone asks us for feedback? Don't we need to recognize that they have actually put themselves right up on the block?
Yeah, we do. It's a big deal to ask for feedback. I mean, you're making yourself very vulnerable when you do that. And if you're saying, God, my view of how I see the world might be wrong here, or mm-hmm. might be different than yours. And so, yeah, you need to have the same compassion for them as you might have for yourself. I wrote a book a long time ago called Feedback Toolkit, and there's a bunch of guidelines in there. And let me just
do a couple.
Is it still
available?
It is, yeah. It's also on my website.
Good.
But a big one is to have a business reason for giving the feedback, so that it's one thing to come in and say, Jim, I got a bone to pick with you. I mean, you're going to go, so there's no context for it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I say, hey, you know, Jim, there's something that I think will make our interviews better, or there's something I'm noticing, or mm-hmm. whatever. You don't have to agree with me, but you now know there's a reason for me saying it rather than me just coming out of the blue.
But now, if I haven't asked for it, is it feedback?
Yeah, it's feedback. You may not take it in.
Unsolicited. So unsolicited advice you consider to be feedback, right?
Well, advice is one thing, but giving feedback has data attached to it. Like... if I say, you know, you ought to do blah, 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 blah.
Right.
You know, that's just a guy in a bar spouting off. You know, but if I say, hey, you know, Jim, something I've noticed.
Right.
The last three times, blah, 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 blah. If I can give you data, that's mm-hmm. what turns it into just a guy in a bar.
Well, and it sounds, what you're doing is you're connecting it to everyone's, I would hope, everyone's desire to seek excellence.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think actually, you know, it's a good phrase, and I think a lot of us, the fear of hearing something we don't want to hear gets in the way of that pretty natural desire to seek excellence,
mm-hmm.
Which really goes back to the thing that when I'm starting off with this, I ought to be asking for feedback from people that I have some respect for.
Right,
becomes easier.
If you're asked to give feedback, is it okay to say, "Can I think about that"?
Yeah.
Could I get back with you tomorrow on that? Is it okay to put it off?
I think it's a great idea, because it...
Especially if they've just hit you cold.
Exactly, yeah.
You could say, you know what? I care so much about what I'm going to say to you and about you asking me that. I'd like to think about it a little bit. What do you think?
Yeah. I think that's great. In fact, when I ask my clients for feedback, I mean, sometimes if it's at the end of a meeting that
right.
we just spent, you know, and we'll just debrief together, but
right.
sometimes I'll say, hey, you know, we've been working on this for about 6 months. I'm going to give you a call next week, and I'd like to, you know, it gives them a chance to think about it.
Good idea. Give us the website again, Rick.
Sure. BeyondResistance.com.
It's a good one, and as are his books. Hey, Rick, thanks for being here. Good job today, and congratulations on the new Glenn Miller appointment.
Thank you.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blessingame. I'll see you tomorrow.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blessingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.